But before we go any further, let's review the numerical visual aid system 0 to 9. And we'll also review the play system 1 through 15, because if you don't have this mastered, believe me, you're not going to be able to master this 15-digit number. Okay, 0 was represented by a what? You remember a bowling ball. 0 is the bowling ball, and the number 1 was a pen, 2 was a clothes hanger, and by this time you should be able to speed up with me on this. 3 was the juggler, 4 was the pickup truck, 5 is the nickel, or the buffalo nickel, 6 is the monkey's tail, 7 the giraffe, 8 is an octopus, 9 is a flamingo. Do you recall what number 10 was? 10 little toes. Okay, now let's go to the place system, 1 through 15. The first place is the gate. The second place is a lock. The third was driveway. Then after the driveway, we went to the front door. Then we reached out for the doorknob. The next place was the dog. After the dog was the closet. After the closet was the TV. Place 9 was the lounge chair. After the lounge chair, we reached over to turn on the lamp. Then kitchen table, kitchen chairs, the plate or plates, glass, and refrigerator. Okay, I hope you have those. Believe me, you don't want to go any further until you can master what we just did in that review, and you want to be able to at least do them that quickly. All right, let's find out what our 15-digit number is. Here we go. The number is 803-612-7413-09685. Whew, run out of breath on that one. Do you know what you're going to be doing? You're actually going to be able to memorize this number, a 15-digit number. So let's begin. Now, in your book, let's go to the column 1, and you'll see where it says column 1. All the items in the place system is in their correct order. Look over to column 2, and you'll see the 15-digit number that we're going to remember. And then column 3. Column 3 will be the numerical visual aid for each number in our 15-digit number. You got that? So take a brief second here, kind of look over that, and look at these three columns. Number 1, understand what it is. Number 2, and number 3. To begin remembering our 15-digit number, we must put the first digit with the first point in the place system, which of course was the gate. Now, we want to recall the number 8 and use the octopus. We see the octopus with all 8 arms through the what? Meshed gate. Let's picture him opening the gate. 8 gate, 8 octopus. So the first digit in our number is 8. And you could even rhyme 8 and gate together. That might work. You could picture the gate and the octopus together. Now we go to where in the play system? We have to go to the lock. Now here you might picture a large lock with bowling pins placed on it, as the bowling ball, which represents 0, knocks them down. Or perhaps you can't open the lock, so what do? You take hundreds of bowling balls and you drop them on the lock until it opens. Now you've got 8 and 0, the first two numbers in our 15-digit number. Now the next place is the driveway. This time you might want to try to get into your driveway, and it's impossible because you've got this crazy juggler in your way. Well, that's easy to take care of, so what are we going to do? Let's run him over. And again, we start using those memory pushers. We've got something crazy, something absurd. Now picture the juggler trying to juggle as he moves real fast to get out of your way. The first number in our 15-digit number was what? 8, then 0, and we just did number 3. 803. Picture and see it in your mind. Now the next place in our play system was the front door. Now we need to remember the number 6. That's the next number in our 15-digit number. Let's picture the large monkey with his tail, and his tail is caught in the, you got it, in the door. And boy, is he ever mad. He's just screaming away, and you picture him screaming and carrying on. Maybe you're trying to get to the door, and you can't get to the door because he's screaming so much he's going to attack you. Number 6, the monkey's tail at the door. So we have 8036. You got that? Let's do another review. 8036. Now the next place in the play system is the what? The doorknob. And as you reach over to the doorknob, you notice that it is blue and it seems to be inflating like a balloon, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And now that you realize it, it's full of ink and it bursts all over you. Now you have this big blob of blue ink all over your white shirt. Or perhaps you see a number of pens just sticking in you. There's pens all over you. Blue ink on the white shirt, number 1. Let's do a review again. We have 8036 and 1. Excellent. Well, we can't stop here. After the fifth number or fifth place system, which was the doorknob and the pen or the ink for number 1, we finally get into the house and the first thing to greet us is that big dog. He puts his paws on our shoulders and you take him for a walk. Now you always put a leash on him, so you use a giant metal clothes hanger to walk the dog with before you connect it to his collar. You have to bend it and you have to form it around his neck. Now imagine that will take a lot of strength to bend the clothes hanger. Keep in mind that the clothes hanger represents what number? Number 2. Okay, look at the numbers again. It's 8, 0, 3, 6, 1, and 2. Now, the next point on our play system is the closet. And the reason you're attracted to go to the closet is because you heard some noise inside the closet. You open up the closet and you see this headless giraffe. Well, he's really not headless. You just couldn't see his head because he has gone through your roof. Now you have the task of getting him out. So you jump up and down in order to reach his neck and you pull him down through the roof, but he's just too tall. And what number does the giraffe represent? Number 7. It's finally time to see what's on TV. So as you turn on the TV, immediately a humongous 4x4 pickup truck crashes through the TV screen. And it just flattens you on the ground. TV, pickup truck, number 4. Now it's time for you to relax. You plop down on your lounge chair and ouch! Pens were sticking up all through this couch and now you have all these little blue polka dot spots all over your butt. So the pen represents the number 1. The next position in the play system after the lounge chair is the lamp. And as you look over the lampshade, you know where you see the on and off switch? All of a sudden a juggler pops out of the light bulb. And now he's in your living room, and of course, what is he juggling? He's juggling light bulbs. As you watch him, you're very tense because you're afraid he might break them, and they're going to break all over the place and go all over the room. And keep in mind, the lamp, what do we see in the lamp? We see a juggler. He's coming out and he's juggling light bulbs. We put the light bulb and the juggling together, and the juggler represents the number 3. Very good. Lamp, light bulb, then juggler number 3. Well, now it's time to see if you can remember the first 10 digits. Go ahead and do the review and see if you can remember these first 10 digits of our 15-digit number. Well, I hope you did okay on that one. I'll review the 10 with you. We'll do it quickly. 8, 0, 3, 6, 1, 2, 7, 4, 1, 3. Now the next position after the lamp is we now go to the kitchen table. So after the kitchen table, we have to remember the number 0. The 0. So what do we use to remember 0? We use a bowling ball. And you might visualize your kitchen table stretching out into a narrow bowling alley as you use the kitchen table to go bowling. So the 0 is the next digit to remember. 0 for bowling ball. Picture and see it in your mind. Pretend that you're bowling on your kitchen table. 0, bowling. Put that together in your mind. Well, the next step in the play system are the kitchen chairs. Now we have to remember the number 9. So now you're sitting next to a what? A flamingo that has his neck wrapped around yours. Something seems a little awkward about this flamingo. He just doesn't sit right. If you recall, flamingos bend their legs just the opposite of the way we do. All right, picture and see that in your mind. The kitchen chairs. And what do we see with the kitchen chairs? We're sitting next to a flamingo, and the flamingo's got his neck wrapped around ours because the flamingo represents what number? Number 9. Picture and see it in your mind. Now, if we're going a little too fast for you, it doesn't hurt to stop the tape every so often, review the information, review the pegs, review the visual aids, and put them together in your mind. Start the tape and keep going. We're nearly done. The next step is a plate. And you guessed what we're eating for dinner. That's right, monkey tails. Mmm, good. Well, that should be more than enough for your imagination. And by the way, don't forget to floss. Okay, number 6 is monkey tail. And what are we eating on the plate? Monkey tails. Number 6, picture and see it. I don't think you're going to forget that one. The next point in our play system is the glass. And this one shouldn't be too difficult either. We can picture a large octopus swimming in our glass of water. And what do we have to drink now? Well, do you want to drink that? I don't think so. So glass, octopus, number 8. Very good. Well, we're at our last digit, number 15. And the last position in our play system is the refrigerator. And the reason you want to go to the refrigerator is you want to get something to drink. You notice that the refrigerator is shaking violently, and you open it up and wow, thousands of buffaloes come stampeding out of the refrigerator. Buffaloes are just all over the place. You can't even close the refrigerator. Okay, do you picture and see that in your mind? Number 5 for buffalo, and then refrigerator. Okay, it's time for the review in your book at the end of chapter 8. And what I want you to do here is to write down all 15 pegs or positions in the play system and then go ahead and do the 15-digit number. Well, how did you do on that review? Wasn't that exciting? Perhaps when you started this program, you probably never imagined that you could do something like that. Yes, technically we do have good memories, don't we? We just have to learn to tap into it, and we have to take the time and a little bit of effort like you have been doing. And I want to commend you for doing that. So let's not stop. We've got more to cover. Chapter 9 now. Remember me? If you stop to think about it, what's the subject that we really like to talk about the most? Maybe we don't want to admit it, but it's ourselves, isn't it? Unfortunately, some people go a little bit overboard with that. But anyway, if we do our best to memorize people's names, we're going to give them recognition. And don't we all like to be recognized? And that's one of the most important things that we must learn how to do in working with people, is recognizing their name. And that's what this chapter is about. Learning to memorize people's names. Now, I think we all know this is one of the best ways to build a rapport with people. And that's what we're going to learn to do in this particular chapter. For instance, haven't you ever said, you know, I can remember that person's face, but for the life of me, I can't remember their name. Well, now, through the information that you studied with me earlier, why can you remember a person's face, but you can't remember their name? Well, it's not because we're stupid or dumb or have bad memories, is it? The reason is because the face is what? The face is tangible. And the name, well, you know that, the name is intangible. And that's why we remember faces but often forget names. We must continue to have our minds alert to be ready to remember. We've got to be name conscious. Now, as we learn to be name conscious, we will be preparing our minds to take this information in. And one reason why we don't remember names is because our minds are not in gear. Now that we're prepared mentally to remember names, let's begin. As we discussed earlier, we don't remember words that are intangible. And isn't that what a name is? Words, names, etc. are very intangible. So we've got to turn a person's name, something intangible, to something tangible. But before we can do that, we have to really make sure that we understand what their name is. Or perhaps we could buy some time, as it were, and ask them how to spell it. And if we're not sure how to pronounce the person's name, don't be bashful. Ask them to repeat it so you can learn how to pronounce it. And you may want to repeat the spelling after they tell you the spelling. Many times I repeat the spelling of a person's name right after they do. And I feel comfortable with that, and many times I can tell that they see that I'm taking an interest in them. And the reason that I do this is that it keeps me in a prepared mode and gives my mind more time to digest this new data. To me, the new data, of course, is their what? Is their name. Then we need to relate the person's intangible name to something that is tangible. To link the person's name with their face, we have to take the tangible object that we had used to remember their name and associate it with a strong, dominant facial feature. Now, let's give it a try. Let's look at Mr. Hone in Chapter 9 of our book, Mr. Hone. Now, we first turn his name into a tangible object that we can easily relate his name to. So how about a cone, a C-O-N-E? Now, it could be an ice cream cone, any kind of cone, a cone. Now, let's find a dominant feature about Mr. Hone. Well, notice his hairstyle. Doesn't it look like maybe a cone? Now we could picture or see a large, tall cone on Mr. Hone's head. The poor man can barely walk because the cone is so heavy. Now, be careful, though, about using hairstyles. Why? Well, frequently they what? They change. So keep that in mind, especially with women. Now we have to visualize Mr. Hone with a cone. Picture and see it in your mind. Mr. Hone with a cone. Let's learn to memorize the name Bob. We'll start all over again. We'll turn Bob into something tangible. A bobber, which is used in catching fish. You know, that little thing that floats on top of the water, a fishing bobber. Now we take the tangible word bobber, and we see a bobber bobbing up and down on Bob's hair, being that his hairstyle is the most dominant feature. So now instead of seeing Mr. Hone as Mr. Hone, we're just going to change his name to Bob. If you know a Bob, perhaps you can use a fishing bobber or take that bobber and mentally or imaginatively put it into something on his face that is very dominant. Now, one thing you want to keep in mind is when you're looking at facial features, if you see a person maybe in a month of January and you notice a facial feature that really sticks out, let's say their nose. Now, what you want to do is if you were to see that individual 5 months from now, you're still going to want to make sure that you see that same facial feature that's dominant so you can continually relate the tangible bobber to the facial feature on his face. And you want to be able to do that a month from now if you saw him 10 months from now. So you want to really look for a nice, strong facial feature. And remember the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. So once you have a strong mental picture of Bob or bobber, use it consistently with all the Bobs you meet. For example, I use gem, you know, like a stone, diamond. I use a gem for Jim. Another thing that we can do is if you have a friend named Jim and you're just meeting today a new Jim, you can associate. You remember the relationship method that we used or studied earlier? You can associate or relate them together by picturing the two Jims in your mind. There's a number of ways we can do that. We can turn Ken into a hen. We can turn Carol into Coral. We can turn Pat to a bat. And then again, you just tie it to a dominant feature. We can turn Matt or Matthew into a mat or a placemat. Now, I don't want you to stop here. I want you to take time later on and convert as many names as you can. Well, now we'll go to Mr. Orzechowski. That's right, Orzechowski. Now, we're working on a name that's just a little more difficult than Bob, isn't it? Well, how do you remember a name that is so long? Well, it's simple. All we have to do is break the person's name up into syllables, and then we have to turn those syllables into what? Tangible objects. Okay, here's how we do that. Orzechowski. Orzechowski. Well, we can divide it into ors, like ors that you use in a boat. Then we have a cow, then we have skis. Now we can think about a boat full of oars with a cow skiing behind it. Orzechowski. Sounds pretty crazy, but it works, doesn't it? Look at the picture in the book. And if you're really serious about this and you want to remember a lot of names, and especially a lot of unusual names, you can many times draw it out a little bit. When a person's not around, take some time and kind of draw a little something out. That will work too. But perhaps you're saying, Gary, I don't know how to draw. Well, it really doesn't matter, as long as your mind sees a cow when you draw a cow. For example, if you can't draw very well and you draw a cow that looks like a square box with a tail or something similar to that, it won't matter. As long as when you go back to that picture, to you personally, your mind is going to just still see a cow. Even though it doesn't look like a cow, you're going to know that that picture is associated to a cow for Orzechowski. Now, we need to tie that memory aid to his dominant facial feature. This will enable us to quickly relate his name to our memory when you physically see him in person, or at least picture his face in person. Now we need to tie that memory aid to his dominant facial feature. This will enable us to quickly relate his name to our memory when we actually think about him or see him personally and need to recall the name. In other words, association again. Well, let's look at Mr. Orzechowski's eyes. We'll picture his eyes as oars. Can you see how squinty and thin those eyes are? Well, we'll picture his eyes as oars. So now when you see oars in his eyes, you should think and link together the word Orzechowski. Learn to master the art of remembering names. What you really want to do here is take some time to study people's features. By doing this, you'll be well prepared to remember names. For example, one day of the week, you might want to really work on studying noses, and maybe another day, you want to study ears or eyes or chins and so forth. And you'll find as you start doing this, you'll become very observant and alert to what's going on. And remember, if you don't practice this, you will not be able to remember names. So let's do a quick review on how to remember names. What is the one main reason that we really forget names? The main reason that I would say, and perhaps you're going to agree with me, is the fact that we're really not paying attention. We're not name conscious. So every time you get together with a new group of people, or you're going to go somewhere else and you know there's going to be some people there that you really don't know, before you get there, tell yourself, I'm going to be name conscious. I'm going to remember people's names. And you will discover as you keep working on people's names, it's going to get easier and easier. Before you know it, you're going to remember hundreds and hundreds of names, and you'll never forget them. Well, now let's go to a new system in Chapter 10, and that's the link system. Are you ready to get started? You know, of all the memory aids we've gone over, the link system is no doubt probably the easiest one. In actuality, you have already been using the link system, but you may not have even noticed it. Basically, the link system is just what it sounds like. In trying to remember items, the link system actually connects or puts things together, the things that we're trying to remember. Now, you've got to use the 12 musts for better memory. Remember those memory pushers? That's very, very important for the link system. And probably the most use that you'll get out of the link system is trying to remember a list of things that you need to do on a day-to-day basis. Or perhaps maybe you have to get specific things at the store or do or tell some things to your children or your wife or your spouse. Or maybe some specific things that you have to get done at the office. Now, let's say we have 5 items that we need to get at the store. The first item you have to get are the eggs. The second, ketchup. The third is milk. Butter is 4th. And batteries are the 5th items. All right? Now, if you're asked to remember these items without using any memory aids, you could probably do so in a short time. But as we have learned, it would be more difficult to recall these items hours or days from now. So then in order to solidly remember these items, we must know how to transfer them from our short-term memory to what? To our long-term memory. And perhaps the most important part or point in this chapter about the link system is that we must begin with a departure point. It's what I call a trademark or a foundation. For example, let's say you have 5 items to pick up at the grocery store and 5 items to pick up at the hardware store. Now, without a proper trademark, we could run these lists together, confusing one list with another, so you're not sure where you're supposed to get the hammer or the nail or the egg, or it just can get a little confusing. So to eliminate this problem, we'll start with a foundation or a trademark. And that's basically what our mind's eye would see when we associate whatever it is that we have to get at wherever. For example, we could use a cash register or a buggy cart that we would see at a grocery store for the trademark for grocery store. So the cash register or the buggy becomes the identifying mark for our grocery list or the grocery store. And they immediately jar the memory at the first point of the memory chain because we have to associate these items with being at the grocery store. Now, let me explain that just a little further. So from here on out, we're going to use a little buggy or a shopping cart as the trademark for grocery store. So anytime we want to get something at a grocery store and remember it, we will always start off with what? With a shopping cart or a buggy. Now, let's start with our five items. Again, they were eggs, ketchup, milk, butter, and batteries. Now, to remember the eggs, we must immediately start with our trademark, and we'll use that shopping cart, and that tells us we're trying to remember something from the grocery store because we related the buggy or the shopping cart to grocery store. Now, remember, that buggy is the trademark for the grocery store. We begin now by starting to push the buggy. We try hard to push that buggy, and it just won't move. Why? Well, we're asking that why again, because the why causes our mind to think more, does it not? Because there's a giant egg in our buggy that weighs so much, we can't push it. So picture and see that giant egg in your mind. And all of a sudden, as you're starting to stare at this gigantic egg, it begins to crack open. Oh no! Ooh, it looks like blood's pouring out of it. Oh, how gross. Starting those memory pushes again, aren't we? But as you get closer, you realize it's only what? That's right, it's only ketchup. Now notice that we've linked the eggs to the ketchup from the buggy or the shopping cart. And notice also the amount of memory pushers that we are already using. Remember, the more memory pushes that you use, the better the memory aid's going to be. Now the third item to remember is milk. And now we're going to picture a cow in the middle of the grocery store licking up the ketchup off the large shell. Got that? Picture and see it in your mind. We're linking it together. Obviously, you should associate the milk with the cow. Now, as you begin to look closer at the cow, you notice that it's yellow. The cow has turned into a sculptured piece of butter. And unfortunately, it's slowly melting away. Picture and see that in your mind. Boy, is it nice to have a crazy imagination. Now, as the cow begins to melt faster, the store begins to flood with melted butter. And now you're up to your neck in melted butter. Picture and see it in your mind. And in an effort to save your life, you see these large batteries that look like logs, and they're floating on top of the butter, and you swim over and get on them. Now, once you get on the floating log or that floating battery, it starts to shock you. Why? Because the batteries have electricity in them. You become so scared that you lose your balance and fall off the log into the butter. Well, that's the link system. See how easy it works? It's pretty easy, isn't it? And all it takes is a little bit of imagination and a little bit of time, and we just connect one thing to another. That's the link system. So let's do a quick review on the link system and the five items that we have to get at the grocery store. So we say grocery store, we think of the trademark, and that was the buggy, and we start from there. It was the eggs, the ketchup, the milk, the butter, and the batteries. Now, how many times in a day do you have to remember to tell someone something? Well, that happens a lot, doesn't it? How can we use the link system to help us out here? I'll give you a personal example. I have a friend of mine whose name is Lou, and he's also a business acquaintance. Now, usually Lou and I will get together at least 4 times a week to exchange information on various topics. Now, in order for me to remember what I need to tell him, I begin with the link system. But first, I must begin with a point of departure or a trademark which is associated to Lou, and I must never change that trademark. Now, personal trademarks can be just about anything. They can be a person's exaggerated facial features. It could be mannerisms or habits. But again, stay away from using hairstyles because that can change. The trademark of a person should be the first tangible thing that comes to your mind when you think of that person's name or when you see them. Now, for Lou, it's his hands. See, when Lou is giving a lecture, he gestures strongly with his right hand by slightly twisting it, and he does it over and over and over. So to me, that has become the trademark for Lou, a large hand. Now, if I need to tell Lou something about a project or a report or whatever, I first picture a big right hand. Let's say I need to ask him about a projection report or a profit report. I think about that big right hand smashing down some money or smashing down on a projector for the profits or projection information. Now remember, you must always start at the person's trademark so the mind doesn't get confused. So every time I think of Lou, it's always a hand. If you think of another person's name, give him a trademark. Now you try it. Try to picture the trademarks of your friends. Let your imagination run wild. And incidentally, using a trademark to try to remember to tell a person certain things, like I did with Lou, I could tell Lou maybe 10 things by tying all 10 things to that projector and continue with the link system like we just did with the grocery list. Now let's go to the subheading, the leaf, in your chapter of the link system. Now, how often have you left home or the office and you've forgotten something? Well, that's a regular occurrence for many. Again, let's use that link system. Now, before I used the link system, I was always asking myself, what do I have to do before I leave work today? Or what do I have to take to work before I leave the house? And by asking that, that still didn't really help. I still forgot things. Why? Well, there was nothing tangible to remember. So here's what I did. I turned the word leave into a leaf. Because every time I would think, before I leave the house, I have to do certain things. Or before I leave the office, I had to do certain things. Now, if I needed to take something from the house to work, I would imagine a huge leaf, L-E-A-F, a huge leaf. So this huge leaf would be at my door at the house. Now, I picture the leaf inside of the house, which tells me whatever I have to add to the leaf must be done before I go through the door or leave. Now, I simply add items to the leaf. You need to remember to take a certain book to work. Well, you could picture the book eating the leaf and spitting out pieces. Remember, your leaf is the trademark, so you don't forget to leave something home. Now, keep adding other items to your book and so on. Use the link system. It could be a book, then you could add a pen or a chair, anything that you need to take to the office or take to wherever before you leave the house. You could picture your leaf on your pillowcase. This would mean whatever you add to your leaf on your pillowcase needs to be accomplished before you go to what? Before you go to bed. I use the leaf when I need to remember an item or a thought before I leave a specific location. The leaf works for me. You may have a better memory aid which helps you. But to get the results from the leaf, you must regularly train yourself to mentally and verbally ask yourself before you leave an area, is there a leaf there? Something I need to remember or link to it. I recommend you do this often so it becomes an actual habit. Then you'll be continually triggering your memory to be alert to see if you actually are forgetting something or if there's something you need to do. Now, you can use the link system to remember what you need to put down on your daily schedule. For instance, you could give each day of the week a trademark. Sunday could represent an actual ice cream sundae. Now, let's say on Sunday that you need to tell Lou something. Take a guess what Lou took off the sundae with his right hand. Yes, he took that red cherry. Remember the hand that we use for Lou, that tangible trademark? Now, perhaps you have a 3 o'clock appointment on Sunday. Well, we could picture the juggler, which represents the number 3 on the numerical visual system, and we could picture the juggler standing on top of the ice cream sundae, and that tells us 3 o'clock on Sunday. Now, let's say we wanted to link what we had to do at 3 o'clock with the juggler. For instance, we know on Sunday we have to do something because we picture the juggler juggling on top of the ice cream sundae. But what do we have to do? Well, let's imagine we have to go to the airport. Well, we could see the juggler juggling what? Airplanes. Or if we have to go to the grocery store, we could picture, see if you get this one, we could picture the juggler juggling the buggy. Excellent. Do you see how it all links together? Because the buggy was the trademark for grocery store. Isn't this interesting how it works? So there's a number of ways that you can use these techniques, but you've got to be really imaginative and get that imagination flowing. Now, how about let's continue memorizing the tangible trademarks for the rest of the week? Monday, the trademark for that would be represented by a monster. It can be any kind of a monster. As long as you see a monster, it's Godzilla. Your mind said it was a monster, and that helps it represent Monday. Tuesday, we'll use a tooth for Tuesday. Picture and see it in your mind. Wednesday, we use a wedding ring for Wednesday. That's the trademark. Thursday, the trademark is thermometer. Friday is a frying pan. And Saturn, the planet Saturn, is Saturday. You got that? Now, let's say tomorrow is Monday and you have to take out the garbage. Well, perhaps you could picture Godzilla, because that's Monday, eating the garbage. That would tell you Monday you have to take out the garbage. Now let's say you have to take the garbage out at 2 o'clock. Well, perhaps you could see Godzilla eating the garbage, and as he opens up the garbage, what does he see? He sees a whole bunch of clothes hangers, because clothes hangers represent the number 2. Or maybe you're beating Godzilla away with large clothes hangers. Picture and see it in your mind. Let's say you had to do something on Friday. What's the tangible trademark for Friday? A frying pan. Well, Friday we have to go to the grocery store and we have to buy fish. Perhaps for Friday we could picture the frying pan and the fish in the frying pan. Or we could picture the buggy for the grocery store filled with fish. Excellent. And that tells us that we have to get fish at the grocery store on Friday. If we have to do it at a certain time, we could link that together in our link system with a story on the frying pan. Well, how are you doing so far? You keeping up with me? I hope so. And again, if you're not, don't worry about it. If you have a tendency to feel that you were just going a little too fast and it's just getting a little bit too much, a little bit too much information at one time, you remember what to do. Stop the tape. Take a couple hours, whatever it takes to review the information if you need a day or two off, but make sure you take the time to get this to sink in your mind. Now, how often have you taken a test before? And perhaps maybe the night before you test, you really studied hard and you knew all the answers. Then test day comes along and you're really ready to take that test and you've got the answers right on the tip of your tongue, but you just can't get them out. You've forgotten. Isn't that frustrating? There's a number of reasons why that happens. One, which we talked about earlier, you could be very nervous before you took the test. What's that going to do to the memory? It's going to inhibit it. Those nerves are going to stop us. Now, I'll show you later on in the program how you'll be able to use a subconscious technique to help eliminate some of that problem. I think you'll find that exciting. So now let's take some time and talk about how we're going to effectively take that test. Now, how are we going to memorize that exam? Well, at the end of chapter 10, we're going to use a couple of sample questions that a person might find on an instrument rating Federal Aviation Administration exam. Whether you're a pilot or not has nothing to do with this. You will still understand the information and you'll be able to apply the principles for any test. The first question or statement in our program on test taking is the general characteristics of unstable air. That bold print is the answer, and that's number 1. Good visibility, showery precipitation, and cumuliform type clouds. So the statement is general characteristics of unstable air are good visibility, showery precipitation, and cumuliform type clouds. In this statement, take the key words to link our imaginative story with the word unstable, good visibility, showery precipitation, and cumuliform type clouds. Now at that point, we'll have to turn the word unstable to a tangible word. So let's turn the word unstable to a stable, like a horse stable. Now we will link a stable with the answer. The characteristics of unstable air are, and the answer is good visibility, showery precipitation, and cumuliform type clouds. At this point, picture the stable being tossed away by some unstable air. Picture and see this in your mind. The stable no longer has walls or a roof. You got that? Now visualize what I'm saying. Now it is unstable. Now the unstable has to have good visibility due to the fact that you can see right through it. Because you no longer have what? You no longer have a wall or a roof. It's unstable. It would also have showery precipitation because the rain would come right through because there is no roof. And finally, cumuliform type clouds. You can imagine or picture growing cauliflower for cumuliform cauliflower inside the stable. And remember, as we use cauliflower, that's a tangible word for cumuliform. Well, that wasn't too bad, was it? It's a lot of fun and a little bit crazy, I know, but it does help us remember answers to questions on exams. And don't stop until you solidly see the things in your mind. So when you're sitting in front of a piece of paper with the information that you want to learn for an exam, you want to continue to use your imagination until a light goes on and you say, wow, without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm going to remember that. And if you really don't get that light to turn on, you want to keep trying. Keep changing your tangible aids and keep changing your story until you feel beyond a doubt, bang, that light went on and you know it's in your memory bank. It takes a little bit of effort, but once it's in there for a long, long time.